Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, where you get clear direction, a persuasive brand, and a competitive strategy that moves you forward. My name is Patricia Ortega, and I'm your host and career coach.
Hi, friend. Welcome back. Today, we're talking about boundaries, and specifically boundaries at work. How do we decide what our boundaries should be? And then how do we implement those boundaries for work-life balance? We're talking to Mary Brown, known as the Boundaries Coach, and she specializes in overcoming busyness and people-pleasing and in learning healthy boundaries. Let's go ahead and get our conversation started. Welcome, Mary. It's so exciting to have you here.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to talk a little bit about boundaries. Boundaries are my favorite thing to talk about. So thank you so much for having me.
So tell us, before we get into the boundaries conversation, into the meat of things, tell us a little bit about kind of who you are, how you got into the boundaries conversation, and what you've done in this space.
So I am a woman. I'm a business owner. I live currently in Colorado. I've been in Colorado for about 20 years. I grew up in Florida. I have a large family. I've got 5 brothers and 3 sisters, and I went to school in Atlanta, Georgia, and then moved to Colorado. So I've been here since then. I'm a coach, and I am a mentor and a friend and all of the things.
Very nice. Well, yeah. I'm definitely excited at just the possibility of what we're going to talk about today, because so often I hear that the reason why someone wants to change careers is to find that elusive work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you and I talked about prior to this conversation is bringing up the fact that sometimes it is the workplace, but sometimes it's the boundaries that we need to work on in order to create work-life balance wherever we're at. So, can I ask you my first question? Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready for this.
Let's do it. Tell us, enlighten us. How do you get clear on your work boundaries and just the entire concept of work-life balance? Like, how do we figure out where that boundary is?
Good question. So when I hear people talking about like looking for this elusive work-life balance, what I usually see is, like you referenced, that mix of, is it the environment or is it me in the environment? And usually the kind of reflective question in that space is this happening in more than one environment? Right. So it's totally possible that it's totally possible that it is the environment. And most of us have had at least one work environment where the work-life balance felt a little bit out of whack, right? But if it's multiple environments, then maybe it's time to kind of take a look at what am I bringing and how am I setting my own work-life balance. And the way that we clarify what our boundaries are really comes from a place of understanding that we are valuable. We're inherently valuable. And we also bring value to the company that we work for. And from that foundational place, making an empowered decision about, okay, so how much am I willing to work and how much am I willing not to work? And if I'm being employed for 40 hours a week, how many hours a week am I willing to work? Mm-hmm. And it comes down to really making a decision about what we're willing to participate in and what we're not willing to participate in, and empowering ourselves to be agents of our decision-making.
Okay, I like how you mentioned all of those things and what comes to mind when you're sharing that, being an agent of your decision making and specifically deciding what you will spend time on and what you won't spend time on. I think the more difficult decision isn't so much what hours am I going to do? It's more of what do I need to say no to in order to get to, you know, the number of hours that I'm willing to work. Mm-hmm. How can people get clear on that? Like if I've got a million things on my to-do list. And I'm like, there's no way that I need a whole new different position in order to have this work-life balance. Is it helpful to have that fresh start? Or do you think there's instances in which someone can look at look at everything they have in front of them and say, okay, I'm going to make some decisions and cut some things out that my boss may not be happy about, right? They may need to hire that extra person whose work I'm doing. Kind of what does that look like to assess your work?
So there's a couple different things. We keep a running to-do list in our heads most of the time. And that takes up a lot of space in our brains, thinking about what do I need to do? What do I need to do next? I don't have enough time for this. How am I going to get all this done? Right. So one suggestion that you could try is to have an appointment with yourself where you create an intentional calendar for the week. So you get a complete brain dump. Like you write down everything that's running around in your head that you think you might need to get done. And then you make some intentional decisions about that list. So there might be some things on there that you're going to cross off and give yourself permission not to do or not to do this week. There might be some things on your list that you might be able to delegate to someone else. Maybe you're not the only person who can do that task. And then you give yourself a specific amount of time to complete each of those things. And time estimation is a learned skill. So that's going to take some time to develop. But if you know that I'm going to spend, for example, an hour a day creating my, or an hour a week creating my calendar for the week, then you allot that specific amount of time and you make a calendar that's solution focused. So each of your appointments have a result that you can achieve during the amount of time of that appointment. And you make and keep those commitments to yourself. You go through each of these appointments, you go through your day, you go through your week, making and keeping commitments to yourself. And then you learn how to rely on yourself. You learn how to manage your time. You learn how to focus on the tasks that you want to achieve without having kind of the chatter in your brain about all the things that you need to get done. And you learn not to have to do a whole nother to-do list every day. And you learn what you actually want to spend your time on and what you don't want to spend your time on and how to be effective with the time that you have. So you get better results, but you also free up the time for the life balance and the self-care that you need to be able to be effective at your work.
Yeah. Oh gosh. It sounded like, okay, I've got to let go of things. That's going to be really hard. That's going to be really hard. But then at the end, you said, well, that creates the time to be able to self-care. And then it's like, that's why I'm doing it, right? It's calling back the purpose. And it's, you know, so helpful to keep that at the forefront as we're making decisions. Well, I need to let go of this. And it's hard to let go of something that you've been working on before, because oftentimes, I think part of the issue with work-life balance is that in some ways, our identity can sometimes get tangled up with our work. Mm-hmm. And so then to let go of a piece of work, it's kind of like, well, no, that's kind of part of me in a little bit. That's showing my effort, my worth, but that's not actually true. And so then it's like you mentioned, let's keep at the forefront of the decision-making process the why, right? Mm-hmm. So as we make decisions for what to keep and what to remove, it's almost like everything that's before you has a trade-off. What am I giving up in order to have this? And if it's not worth it, well, then this is one token I can take off my desk. Mm-hmm. And so I really like how you kind of brought that to the forefront and shared that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may have heard the question before. If I say yes to this, what am I saying no to?
Yeah.
And I like that question, but even more, I like the question, if I say no to this, what might I be saying yes to? Mm. So the reason why we want to learn to say no is so that we can have the space to be able to say yes to the things that we actually want.
Mm. Yeah, it's a trade-off. Everything is a trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, how about this? Speaking of trade-offs, right? If we're thinking about a work conversation, it's not always within our purview. I know someone listening right now. I know you. I know if you're like me, you're going to be saying something like, okay, well, that's all nice and fine, but it's not me who's giving myself this work. It's my boss. It's my organization. It's, you know, the team or whatnot. So how do we find that balance of responsibility between, you know, at what point can we say, I've done everything in my control, and at this point, this job is just demanding too much of my time that I can't shift out. Like, how do we find clarity as far as, is it me or is it the job?
Well, I like to do kind of a T-chart, if you will, like two columns on a piece of paper, right? And on one side, we put our first name in there and we say something like, what Patricia is responsible for. And on the other side, what Patricia is not responsible for. And when we're looking at that, getting really clear about like, these are my responsibilities and these are not my responsibilities. And if we are able to clarify what we're responsible for and what we're not responsible for, surprisingly, it oftentimes will feel very freeing and relieving to be able to have some things on the not responsible for side that we have been carrying around, either in terms of our time or our tasks, or even emotionally, like the burden that we feel for being responsible for things that aren't ours. And so when we get really, really clear about like, these are things that I'm not responsible for, these are the things I am responsible for, then we can ask ourselves, do I want to be responsible for all of the things that are on this side of my column?
Wow.
And sometimes we don't even ask ourselves, like, what do we want?
Wow.
Do I want to be responsible for these things? If I was to actually let go of the things that I'm not responsible for, then would I want to be responsible for these things?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's being more intentional, right? Because we kind of just go with the flow, right? And so if there's an expectation that you'll take something on, and especially if, you know, there's a large population, one part of the population that has this tendency where we kind of like to people please, right? We like to make people happy. We like to help people. But sometimes it's like it becomes an expectation to where we just start picking things up without really looking at what the cost is for those long term. So I like how you're talking about being really intentional about what I am responsible for, what I'm not responsible for.
And sometimes we get mixed up between customer service and customer satisfaction. And we're actually seeking customer satisfaction because we want, that's the people pleasing tendency, right? We want someone to feel good about the service that we're providing. We want them to be pleased with us. We want them to like us. We don't want them to feel disappointed. And so we're kind of chasing the satisfaction of our customers or our coworkers or our managers. And then what happens is we forget that we're here to provide a service, and we can't make someone else's feelings our measurement of success, because we don't have control over someone else's feelings. That's oftentimes related to their perception and their experience of the world, right? And so I want to do a good job with the services that I agree to provide because it's important to me to do a good job, to my standards, to my integrity, to myself, right? And to my employer and to my clients and to the company, to my peers. I want to do that for my own reasons. And if we are constantly chasing someone else's feelings as our measurement of success, we will always feel disappointed and we will not find work-life balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let that sink in for a second. You know, tying our satisfaction to client or customer or boss or colleague or team satisfaction, it's tying our sense of, you know, accomplishment to someone else's, like you said, perception and feeling. And it actually ties back to something you said earlier about, you know, emotional boundaries, right? And I know this isn't something that we had talked about beforehand, but what a great topic as far as, you know, oftentimes we have to create emotional boundaries about what we care about and how much we care about it and how much we should care about it in order to then be able to have the mental clarity to build the more physical, logistical boundaries. Can you share a little bit about kind of creating emotional boundaries around your work? Because we get very like, it's got to be this way, right? And there's like an emotion, there's an attachment. Like, how do we start to detach a little bit from that?
Well, I do think it's human nature to want other people to be happy with our work and to be happy with us. And it's still important to me too, right? So it matters to me. Like, I want 5-star reviews. I want people to like, you know, the services that they receive from me. And I think that I don't have any like intention or advice that we should resist those, that natural tendency to want to other people to be pleased. But the boundary that I have is that that's not what motivates me. So I need to have something deeper to motivate me to do a good job. I need to have some intrinsic reasons to show up and to work and to deliver. And I need to have some other measurements of success besides someone else's feelings, because my power is in those other measurements of success. If our measurement of success is based on someone else's feelings, then that person has complete power over our success. And so the detachment really comes around how we measure success for ourselves. And my success for myself comes from my measurements, not someone else's.
I see. So it sounds like for those listening, really what we're talking about as far as like something to consider, something to reflect on is, you know, if I have this sort of desire, right, to make other people happy, which, like you said, I think we all have that. But if I'm seeing like, hey, it's kind of encroaching a little bit in my own life satisfaction, right? It sounds like one of the things you're suggesting to do is to go back and consider kind of what your motivators are. So take stock of what are my motivators, but what can be my motivators, right? And so if my motivator is to, you know, get this recognition or to make my boss happy or to keep people happy, and it's kind of costing me some of those boundaries. Mm-hmm. It sounds like what you're saying is, let's take some time and journal and talk and reflect, or whatever it might be, get a coach, whatever that might be, and just really talk about like, what do I really want out of this work that I'm putting in a long-term viewpoint, as opposed to the immediate, because I think the people pleasing tendency, as a recovering people pleaser, I think the people pleasing tendency is this immediate feedback of a smile on someone's face to say, I am happy with you, right? And I've had to learn to be like, okay, the long-term benefit is worth, I don't want to say it's worth more, but it's just so much more meaningful, because the long-term benefit is typically what my actual goal is. But the smile on someone's face tends to be that immediate gratification, that immediate feedback. And so for me, it's kind of moving away from the immediate feedback and into like the long-term feedback. It's my long-term goal. Kind of went off on a tangent there, but I like where you're going with this conversation as far as like, just, you know, taking stock of what's really motivating you, what's really driving you, and are you meeting that outcome?
And your measurement of success, right? Is my measurement of success something that I have control over, or am I giving that away to somebody else's feelings?
I like that. Are you exchanging it? Okay. Well, I'm curious for everyone listening. I know we always like to get those like practical steps we can take, right? So what are some practical tools or strategies, some tips, something we can implement this week in order to help us to say no, but say it gracefully, with our faults?
Yes. So, some tips and tools for saying no. One, you may have heard before, no is a complete sentence, right? So you can just try saying no and then kind of seeing how it feels, seeing how it lands. Just experiment a little bit with kind of saying no and see how that feels. When I was a child growing up, there was a campaign called Dare, and it was like to help kids stay away from drugs. And they used to say, just say no.
Yes, just say no. I remember that.
And so I kind of remember that sometimes of like, oh, just say no. So you can just give it a try and see how it feels. And it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable, and that's okay. It takes about 3 to 5 times of just saying the word no, and as an answer to a question before it starts to feel more comfortable. So that's one option. The other option is just one sentence, the one sentence method. And that might sound something like, I appreciate you and no, or I respect you and no. And it is expressing that you are connecting with the person or the commonality that you have with that person and still saying no to the request, all in one sentence. It's not but, it's a compound sentence. And so it's and, right? So thanks for thinking of me, and I'm not able to commit, right? It's one sentence where you're clearly honoring the person or the work you're doing together, or the commonality that you have, and still saying no to what you're not able to commit to. So that's one option. And then the third option that I always like to offer people is kind of an Oreo cookie idea. So if you think of an Oreo, most people I think know what an Oreo looks like, but it has a cookie on the top and cream in the middle and a cookie on the bottom. And so if you think of the cookie as some type of respect for connection to kindness, compassionate towards the person or the work or the commonality that you have. And then the cream is a clear boundary. And then the bottom of that cookie is more connection, kindness, appreciation for. And so that might sound something like, thank you so much for including me in this work. I'm not going to be available for that meeting. I will look forward to the notes when I get back, or something like that. So you're kind of sandwiching your clear boundary with connection to the person or to the work or the commonality that you have. And that sets it up really nicely in 3 sentences, no more, just 3 sentences, so that you can, it just feels a little bit nicer to be able to have kind of the cookie on the outsides there.
I absolutely love that. It kind of reminds me of the compliment sandwich, you know?
Yes, I've
Like
heard
it's
that
like
before.
appreciate them, give them the feedback, appreciate them some more, love on them some more, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely can appreciate that. I was recently reading, as you were talking, I'm like, oh, this is so good. I was reading Jordan Rayner's book, Redeeming the Time, I think, Redeeming Your Time. And it's an excellent book. I mean, if anyone needs to learn how to manage their time, it's great. Anyways, but in it, he says this phrase, and it's very similar to what you're mentioning. And so I thought, you know what, let's just kind of drop this nugget here along with your like wisdom and tips as far as how to say no. And one of the things that he mentioned was to not explain why you can't do something, because then it can be rebutted. And so he's like, you have to say, I'm fully committed. Like, kind of saying, like, not tomorrow, not the next week. Like, I have made a decision. This is something I'm not going to focus on. So he always says, I'm fully committed, which reminds me of like the no that you mentioned, like, just short and sweet. And then the other thing that, as you were talking, I thought, this is excellent. This is like such good conversation. Oh, you said something that just sparked What was it? Oh, in the Oreo cookie, right? So that bottom cookie. So you're like, I appreciate you talking with me. I'm not able to do XYZ. And then at the bottom, so I did the Oreo cookie once, and you know what I did? You probably would be like, wrong, Patricia. I would then use that last one as a way to people please because my tendencies were still there. And so I'd be like, oh, and I'll watch it after. So now I have this extra to-do item, right? And so I'm like, learn from my mistake, right? At the end of that sandwich cookie, it's something that's positive, but not committing you to something in the future.
Yes, I love that. And I agree that my favorite kind of cream of the cookie is I have decided that.
I like that.
And so I might sound something, it might sound something like, hey, thank you for inviting me to this meeting. I've decided not to attend. I'll see you next time, right? Maybe whenever that next time is. I'll see you in the morning, or I'll see you at the meeting next week, or whatever that is. And it kind of sets it up that when I will connect with you again, right? And that it's going to be okay. Like, we're fine. There's no awkwardness.
It's so true.
I'll be at work in the morning, or I'll
You're
come
like,
out
I'm
to
still
lunch
there.
next month, or whatever that is, right?
Yes.
And just kind of sets the stage for continuing the connection and the relationship there. And as you were talking, one of the things that came to mind is people will ask me, well, do I give them a reason or do I not give them a reason? Right. And I often say, well, would you tell them the true reason or would you make up an excuse?
Ah, thank you for that. Right? Like, it's so tempting to be like, oh, I'm washing my hair. No, I just decided not to do
Right.
it.
Right. Or I don't have time. Is it really about time?
Yeah. I think the real answer is I have chosen not to prioritize this task. That's the real answer. Right. And this, and I think, it can sound like you're not important enough. And I think that's why we steer away from saying it. But I like how you keep it so simple. I've decided not to attend this meeting. I think it's
Yeah, I've
great.
decided not to participate. I've decided to go to this meeting instead. I've decided whatever it is, I've decided because it's not going to be a conversation. It's not going to be up for discussion. I've made the decision,
Yes, it's done.
right? And I still want to connect with you and be a part of this team or whatever it is, this working relationship.
I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. Thank you for these. These are so practical, something we can each implement literally today, tomorrow. Maybe as we're listening to this, we are texting someone back. And you know, if this is you, if you got to pick up your phone and text someone and be like, sorry, I haven't messaged you in 5 weeks, but the answer is no. You know, you're avoiding it. Okay, but before I let you go, this has been such a great conversation. I've got a couple of really difficult questions.
Sure.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Coffee or tea?
Diet Coke.
Ah, think outside the box. I like it. I like where you're going with this. I don't like Diet Coke, but I like where you're going with this. So Diet Coke. What's the last book that you read?
I read, ooh, I pulled out a book that I had previously read, called Boundaries with Henry Cloud and
Of
John
course.
Townsend. Because one of my clients said, I remember what they made a reference to something she had read in the book years ago. And I said, you know, I haven't pulled that book out in several years. And so I'm gonna find what she was specifically referencing and kind of went back to that, grandfather book about boundaries.
Very nice. And in your opinion, what's the movie that we all need to watch?
The movie we all need to watch. That's a hard one for me right now. I really like Forrest Gump. I think there's so many lessons in there. And the reason why is because it teaches us about like a different perspective of the world.
Forrest Gump it is.
Forrest Gump.
It's
I should
been
go back
so
and
long
watch it.
since
It's been a long time.
same. I was like, I haven't seen it in so long. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know folks are going to want to talk with you after our episode. So where can we find you? Where can we connect with you?
So I also have a podcast. It's called Let's Talk Boundaries with Mary Brown. And so if folks are podcast listeners, I invite you to check out my podcast. My website is boundariescoach.com. And on my website, if you're curious about kind of how boundaries are showing up in your everyday life, you can take a free and fun, easy quiz and kind of get some results about what your strengths are and your challenges and your next steps. So that's a fun way. I'm also on all the social media platforms. You can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook and, all the places.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to include those links in the description as well. And honestly, it's been a blast talking with you today. I'm really glad that you came on board and that we all got to share in this conversation. And again, everyone know that you want to check out the Let's Talk Boundaries with Mary Brown podcast to hear some more about her. And then I'm also on her podcast, so you can kind of look around and find my episode and you'll have another great conversation to listen to.
That's right. That's right. I'm so excited.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Mary.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thank you all. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you on the next one.
Hey, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please tap the 5-star review on the show's homepage in your podcast app. It would absolutely make my day, and it helps others discover the Uncommon Career Podcast. Now, to download your free career resources and learn how I help seasoned professionals land amazing offers in as little as 90 days, click on the link in the description or go to theuncommoncareer.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you on the next one.